Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, reading from verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said and did not see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May God bless this reading of his word.
There's an American violinist and conductor by the name of Joshua Bell. And he's one of the most celebrated musicians of his era, and already he has a highly distinguished career which stretches something like 3 decades. Well, it's some time ago now, but away back in 2007, he teamed up with a columnist from the Washington Post for what was to become known as the Great Subway Station Violin Experiment. And the psychology behind what happened is still being discussed all these years later. A hidden camera was placed in the entrance to the subway, and the particular subway was chosen because of the good acoustics and the fact that the sound would carry. And the camera filmed Bell posing as a busker. Now, Bell owns what is regarded as one of the best and finest violins that the world has ever seen. He owns a particular Stradivarius made in 1713 called the Gibson X. Huberman. Now, on that particular morning, Bell didn't need to travel very far from where he was staying to the subway station, but he arrived in a taxi. And the reason for that was to save this violin getting cold or damp from the outside air. And just before 8 o'clock in the morning, in time for the morning commute being in full swing, Bell started to play his violin. He played Schubert, Massigny, Pons. Bell played for 43 minutes non-stop. He opened with a particular 14-minute piece by Bach, which is generally considered to be one of the best solo pieces ever written for the violin and one of the greatest musical compositions ever created. Now, I'm sure you can see where this is heading. 63 people walked past in the first 3 minutes. Then a middle-aged man slowed down for a second and he turned to notice that Bell was playing. And then he kept on walking. 30 seconds after that, a woman who was passing tossed a coin into the collection. Nothing happened for another 6 minutes. 6 minutes later, someone leant back against the wall and really began listening to the music. In the three quarters of an hour that Bell played, seven people stopped to listen to one of the world's finest violinists playing for free on a $4 million Stradivarius. 27 people gave money, totaling $32 and some loose change. And 20 of those $32 came from the one person that morning who recognized Bell. Now, Bell had been playing the night before at the Library of Congress, which is the National Library for the United States of America, and that man had happened to be in the audience. In total, once they looked at the footage and counted the number of people that walked past, 1,070 commuters walked past Joshua Bell. Some of them were only a few feet away, and very few of them actually turned even to look. So my question is, what does it take for you, or for me for that matter, to stop and listen, so to speak, in life? What drives you to carry on walking? What makes you pause in life just long enough for you to turn your head? I absolutely believe that resurrection finds us. We don't always need to go looking for the resurrection. God loved us before we loved God, and God reaches out to us first in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And crucially, the approach is generous and unconditional. Resurrection finds us, and that's a powerful message to hold on to. But the question is, what if we don't see it? What if we miss it? What if we worry about not understanding it? And certainly at the beginning of the famous story of the disciples and the road to Emmaus, that seems to be what happened. The two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, traveling the road to Emmaus, didn't see what was in front of them, didn't recognize their traveler, couldn't hear beneath the words at that moment in time. Now, we're human, and it can be hard to believe that when something amazing is going on, that there's something amazing going on, I should say, when there's no crowd, no fanfare, nothing telling us to pay attention, when the signs aren't obvious and the conversation is normal. It can be hard to believe that something amazing is going on when the people we travel with don't look any different from us. They don't look unusual. Or when the background music to life is, well, just that, background music. The disciples on the road to Emmaus weren't expecting to encounter Jesus, which might account, at least in part, for why they didn't recognize him. It's a well-known psychological fact that very often we don't see what we don't expect to see, and that's precisely what the subway experiment proved. So how do we then lift our eyes from whatever we're doing, from whatever it is that has our attention, or wherever it is we choose to put our energy, to notice, to care about what's going on right next to us? Because something amazing is going on. The passage in Luke states that the travelers' faces were downcast. Never once did they expect to encounter the risen Christ. Now ask the question of yourselves, where do you expect to find God? What do you expect to see of God? And how do you and I discern the risen Christ? Because God does journey with us. The resurrected God journeys within each and every one of us, but perhaps we have to be looking and indeed listening to recognize the fact. As on the road to Emmaus, God walks with us and reveals himself to us, but he's equally there in the stranger that we walk past or we fail to notice. So when the words are spoken, when the music is played, when the bread is broken, will our eyes be open? The resurrection does come to us, but how much richer our living and believing will be if our eyes and ears are really open and attuned to the words, to the music, and to the gesture. Amen. Thanks be to God.